This morning, we celebrate All Saints' Day, one of the seven major feasts on the liturgical calendar. And the day raises questions. What is a saint? What does a saint look like? Can you tell a saint from, say, an ordinary person? Do saints have halos over their heads? Do you have to be dead to be a saint? I hope we will gain a deeper understanding of and appreciation for the saints on this feast day when we commemorate them all. How did All Saints' Day come to be? The Apostle Paul planted churches in the major cities of the Roman Empire. And over the years, the growing churches received increasing persecution. Believers died because of their faith and for their faith. And these martyrs were commemorated on the anniversaries of their deaths. As their numbers increased, the church established an annual date to commemorate them all. When the Roman Emperor's Edict of Milan in 313 ended the persecutions, Christians who confessed their faith not by dying for it, but by their prophetic words and exemplary lives, also began to be commemorated. The November 1st date for All Saints' Day became universally established in the Western Church in the 8th century. The Episcopal Church continues this spiritual heritage today in a way that reflects our understanding of the church. We understand the church to be the communion of saints, a people made holy through their mutual participation in the mystery of Christ. Our understanding derives from the New Testament epistles, especially Paul's, where all the redeemed are called saints. We who are on our earthly pilgrimage continue to have fellowship with those whose work is done. Therefore, we commemorate those saints among all the redeemed who were extraordinary servants of God and of God's people for the sake and after the example of their Savior Jesus Christ. We might say that the holy men and holy women listed in the church's liturgical calendar are those saints whose lives are written in larger letters than is the case for most of us. By commemorating these extraordinary saints, we ensure that they endure in our hearts and minds and that the examples of their lives continue to nurture us. The names in our liturgical calendar reflect an appreciation for all of the ministries of all of God's people. This host of witnesses is not restricted by ordained status, denomination, or professional calling. Instead, these witnesses are an extraordinary array of men and women who have performed diverse ministries in varied settings and circumstances. Some are biblical characters, like St. Mary the Virgin and St. Mark, whom we commemorate on major feast days. Many are bishops, priests, and monastics. On the list are John and Charles Wesley, priests and hymn writers, whose evangelical revival in the Church of England eventually spawned the Methodist Church after their deaths. The theologian and reformer Martin Luther is on the list. So is the layman William Wilberforce, a prophetic witness and fierce abolitionist who pursued his lay ministry in the political arena. There are teachers and authors like Evelyn Underhill, who wrote influential books on contemplative prayer, civil rights and social justice leaders like Martin Luther King Jr. and Sojourner Truth, and prophetic pastors like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. These extraordinary saints serve as examples of the many and varied ways we can show devotion to God and to God's people in our own lives. We have been reading in our Centennial Moments in History e-letters and Amy Zimmerman's interviews about saints who are part of this parish's history. At the top of each e-letter is a verse from the 12th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. Now, in the preceding chapter, the author recalls key figures in the spiritual history of Israel. People like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and some of the judges. Relatively minor players are included in the scandalous list. And I say scandalous because the list contains the names of murderers, adulterers, connivers, even a prostitute. Then, having reminded us of the long lineage of people on whose shoulders we stand, the author says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and run with perseverance the race that Jesus has set for us, looking to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So this morning, let us commemorate some saints in our 100-year history, witnesses who surround us in this church. Their names do not appear in the liturgical calendar, but the Apostle Paul calls them saints nonetheless. And if it's good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. We are surrounded not only by their spirits, but by dedicatory plaques on the walls and sacred vessels on the altars that bear their names, serving as visible and tangible reminders of their continuing presence and influence among us. To your right, in St. Mary's Chapel, is the altar from St. George's Church, one of our two predecessor parishes. The altar cross once was on the high altar of this edifice when the Church of St. Michael and All Angels worshipped here. The cross was given by Thomas Keith Skinker in memory of his parents, Thomas and Jane Skinker. Thomas was a founder of St. George's Church in 1845, the fourth Episcopal parish in St. Louis. His son, Thomas Keith, was a founder of St. Michael and All Angels in 1912 and offered the land on which this church rests to Bishop Tuttle for one-third its market price. His home still stands just up the street at 6464 Ellenwood. The two Eucharistic candles on the altar were given by parishioners of St. Michael and All Angels in memory of Emily Palmer, who served on that parish's first altar guild. She was described by a parishioner at the time as a wonderful, devoted churchwoman who gave of herself unstintingly in the service of the church. If you enter the chapel this morning to receive communion, look at that altar, the altar cross, and the Eucharistic candles, and give thanks for these saints whose legacy continues to shape us. There are several plaques on your left and your right that list the names of Whittemore family members who were so instrumental in the early life of St. Michael and All Angels. They gave of their time, their talent, and especially their treasure in ways we should emulate. There's a large plaque on the wall over here to your right, given in memory of Corporal Montgomery Batorf. Words at the bottom of the plaque describe him as a Christian gentleman and a gallant soldier. On the back wall of the nave is a large plaque given in memory of Captain Alexander Skinker, the son of Thomas Keefe and Bertha Skinker. Corporal Bettorf and Captain Skinker share two things in common. They both were scoutmasters of the church's Boy Scout troop, and they both fell in the Battle of the Argonne in the last days of the First World War. Captain Skinker was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Also on the back wall of the nave is a memorial to the Reverend Dr. Robert Holland, who served twice as rector of St. George's Church. He, like many of the people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, had great spiritual gifts, commingled with a few personal traits I would suggest we not imitate. On the wall to your left is a plaque listing the names of 11 servicemen of this parish who gave their lives in the Second World War. The plaque at the lower area of the right window over the high altar bears the name of Lillian Druitt Norton, the wife of the first rector of St. Michael and All Angels. They came here together a century ago. And to bring this severely truncated tour full circle, there is a plaque under the south sanctuary window that bears the name of the Right Reverend Daniel Sylvester Tuttle, the third bishop of Missouri, who had a dream to plant a mission church on the land where we now worship. That dream became a reality largely because of Miss Susan Mount, who gave most of the money to build our church, the rectory, and the parish house. The concise inscription on the parish house cornerstone reads, Susan Mount Memorial, 1920. There are many, many more saints we could name who have walked the aisles of this nave and joined the church at rest. Their lives serve as examples for us. There is one more group of saints to commemorate this morning, those still with us as part of the Pilgrim Church. Some of them are teaching our children this morning in the church school. Each May, our liturgy leaflets list the names of all of our church school teachers. Some of those names have an asterisk beside them, indicating that they have taught church school for 10 years or more. Talk about your saints. There are vestry members, altar guild members, members of St. Paul Guild of Lay Readers and Chalice Bearers, greeters and ushers, servers at Evensong receptions, you'll see some tonight, be back. Community of Hope lay ministers, Canterbury bookstore volunteers, parishioners who serve breakfast this morning in the homeless shelter, parishioners who pick up the hungry ministry cards in the parish hall that list the monthly food needs, go to the stores, buy those items, and bring them back here so we can share that food with the hungry. And we could go on and on. Each and every one of us leaves this church every Sunday to go into a world that is our mission field. There we love people, say an encouraging word to a discouraged person at work or school, care for aging parents, visit the sick, minister to our families, our neighbors, and our friends. We are the presence of Christ in our community. St. Teresa of Avila, a 16th century nun whom we commemorate each October 15, put it this way: Christ has no body but ours. Ours are the only hands Christ has to do his work. Ours are the only feet with which Christ can go about the world. Ours are the only eyes through which Christ's compassion can shine forth upon a troubled world. Christ has no body now but ours. You see, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, those who have joined the church at rest and those still among us in the pilgrim church. Look at the people sitting around you this morning. Now, go ahead and look at one another. All of us are saints called to live lives that are worthy of that name that God in Christ has given us by grace, for we could never earn it. With God's help, we are all enabled to live as saints no matter what our life situation or vocation may be. One of our hymns reminds us of this. I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true, who toiled and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherd on the green. One was a soldier, one was a priest, and one was slain by a fierce wild beast. And there's not any reason, no, not in the least, why I shouldn't be one too. They live not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or at shops or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like me. And I mean to be one too. How about you?